Let's just stand and just let's give God the glory. Let's give God the glory for all that He's been doing in our lives. Let's give God the glory for all that He's done this weekend. Lord, we glorify You. Lord God, we give You the glory for every miracle, for every sign and wonder.
Jesus.
Lord God, we give You the glory, Lord God, that we've got breath in our bodies, Father. Lord God, we give You the glory that we are here for such a time as this, Lord God. Father, we just want to glorify You. We want to build an altar of glory to You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You alone are worthy of the glory, God. Lord, there is no king or president, Father. You alone deserve the glory. You are worthy, Lord. We magnify You, God. We magnify You, God. Let's give the Lord a big clap offering tonight for all He's been doing. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Holy Spirit. We thank You for what You're doing, and we continue to welcome You and ask You to keep coming and to take us deeper and take us higher. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. I want to say a big thank you to the worship team who've just worked their socks off all weekend. Big, huge thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the techie guys at the back who've made it all possible. Thank you for everyone on Zoom as well. Big thank you to the CWM team that have been nipping in on the Zoom calls as well. And they've been praying for you all weekend. So thank you to our team back home as well. Thank you. Big thank you to these incredible people. I just want you to stand for a moment, which I know is going to really frustrate you and embarrass you. But, you know, I really feel we need to have a culture of honour. Yes, and these guys are sacrificial. Yes. And they give, yes, and they give, they give. And I just want you to stretch your hands out to them right now. Ali, will you come? Father, we just thank You.
Yes.
You're looking nervous. Father, I just thank You, Lord God, for this precious, precious couple.
Yes.
And, Father, I see them like a oil drill. Lord, that they've been getting twisted and twisted and twisted into the ground, like drilling deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And Father, I thank You, Lord God, that this is the time.
Yes. Yes.
This is the time, Father. Lord God, when they are going to strike oil, Father.
Amen.
When they're going to strike, Lord God, such a breakthrough of Your Spirit, Father. And I want to pray Your covering, Your protection over them, Father. Lord God, that there will be those who are jealous of them, those who are intimidated by them, Father. But Lord, You are pleased with them.
Yes.
Lord God, You are pleased, yes, with them. And Father, we honor them tonight,
yes,
on this earth,
yes,
not just in this community, but on this earth.
Yes.
Lord God, for all that they've sown, Lord God, we want to declare it's time to reap. Lord, just as we've walked around a little tiny bit this afternoon and seen what the farmers have sown and the harvest coming, Father, we want to declare that it is time for this couple to reap. Lord God, that they've sown in ways that people have got no idea about, Lord God. Lord, and they've sown when they've even had it thrown back in their faces, they've kept on sowing. And Lord, we just honour them tonight, Lord God. And we pray for them, Lord God, that there will be a real explosion, Lord God, of the glory of God in this place, Father. Lord God, because when it's Your glory, Lord God, no man can get in the way. And so we pray right now, Father, for this precious, beautiful couple.
Yes.
And we thank You for them in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I just need to go and do something.
Well, you're in trouble now. Thank You, Lord.
I just feel really prompted to just give You this. It's a £20 note.
Thank you.
And Sue's just going to explain what 20 means,
yeah,
because of the significance of it. Can,
okay,
you just explain?
Yeah, cool. When we were in Ghana, probably the first or the second time I went to Ghana with Pam, we met with the Bishop of Cape Coast, and God said to him, look in your purse, and had a £20 note, a 20 CD note, which is a Ghanaian currency, and a 20 euro note, which I'm not that rich, I don't normally have 20s. but God said I was to give them to Bishop Victor. And I said, I really believe that they mean freedom, freedom from the past, freedom from the European past, freedom from the African past, and freedom from the British past. But that God says 20 means freedom. And when I looked up what 20 means in Hebrew, it meant freedom. We release freedom in the spirit.
Yes.
Freedom from religion.
Yeah.
Freedom from politics and religion. Mm-hmm. Freedom from poverty. Freedom from relational breakdowns. We just release freedom, a freedom of the flow of the Holy Spirit, yeah. Like you've never experienced before. Yeah. More, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And also with that freedom, I just felt the Lord say, it's multiplication as well. Yeah. Multiplication. Everything you need, multiplication. So just watch out, because the Lord is extravagant in his giving.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God may be calling some of you to sow into the ministry here. And again, I know Robert would never say that probably, but I really believe, if we want to see a move of the Spirit, we have to invest in it, you know. And so I just want to drop that in there, really. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the Bible, which I hope you don't stone me for. But for your homework, I want you to read it, okay? And I want you to read Acts chapter 13 and 14. And we're just going to kind of, go through it very quickly, because Ali and I need to go at 9 o'clock. If you read it for your homework, that would be really, really helpful, just to make sure I'm not preaching rubbish. And we do need to check that, that we're actually hearing what really is the word of God, and not deception in these days. So it tells the story of Paul and Barnabas. They were worshipping in the church in Antioch, when the Holy Spirit spoke to everyone, and he said, I have called Paul and Barnabas to do an important work for me. Now release them, consecrate to go and fulfill. And I really feel like God has taken us on a whole journey from the very beginning, where we had the carpet on the floor and we've been dealing with our stuff, and giving God permission to deal with things that we haven't even been aware of that have been there. And God is calling us on a journey. And it's interesting that in the midst of God being worshipped, the Holy Spirit spoke. Yes. There's a key straight away. When we worship him, when our focus is on him, God speaks. And personally, I find, if I'm not responsible for speaking or leading a meeting, and I'm just absolutely free just to worship God, without any distraction, that's very often the time when God speaks to me, when God gives me downloads. That's right, isn't it? And, back March of last year, I shared on Friday night when God really spoke to me. It was when I wasn't leading the meeting, when I wasn't responsible for preaching, but when I was worshipping and focusing on him, and he began to speak. And I'm not going to say again what he said to me. If you weren't here Friday night, you need to order the recording of that. But I felt that has been very significant, to track us through the season that God is taking us through. We need to understand what is God saying, so we can position ourselves in the right place at the right time, the right people doing the right thing, so that we can be vessels for the kingdom of heaven to invade earth. So as they worshipped, the Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit is attracted when we're worshipping. You know, have you noticed he doesn't come when we're grumbling? He doesn't come when we're criticizing. You know, he doesn't come when we're being disobedient. He comes when we're worshipping God and giving him the glory that he deserves. And the Holy Spirit spoke and he directed them what to do. If you don't know what to do, you need to start by worshipping God. You know, there's many leaders and pastors. We need to be praying for them across the nation right now. And they don't know what to do. You know, they really don't know what to do. It's like God has got hold of the church and thrown it right up in the air. In fact, he's thrown it on the potter's wheel, actually. Great place for him to throw it. But they don't know what to do because they don't know what the pot's going to look like. You know, because God hasn't shown them the design. He's commissioned a new pot, and we do not know. If you know somebody who says they know what it looks like, I don't think they do. Nobody knows, and it's a journey of faith, and it's a journey of trust, because church is not going to look like it did 2 years ago. And we're not meaning, you know, you've actually, you know, revamped the building here, and it looks great, and that's still not what we're talking about. It's going to look very different because we, as God's people, are going to be very different, you know, and that's great. And so here the Holy Spirit speaks directly and he tells them who he wants to send. And I believe even tonight God is going to be speaking and saying who he wants to send. He tells them when to go. I want you to go now. You know, there's no hanging about. Go now. And he tells them where to go. It's really important that you are in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. And I want to tell you why. Because you could be in the most dangerous place in the world. But actually, if you're exactly where the Holy Spirit wants you to be, it's the safest place in the world. And I want to tell you, me and Ali, you know, we were in Ghana. And I think it was your first trip, wasn't it? Ali's first trip. And I'd been twice before, and the roads are just a challenge, you know.
She didn't tell me that.
I didn't tell her very much, actually. I just told her God wanted her to come. But, you know, it was a real challenge. And I'm not just talking because the roads aren't in good condition. It's because they're really dangerous. People crash into you and stuff, you know, because they just think they can do that. It's just crazy. We went out one day, and I'll just give you one little taste. We went out one day, and we went up this mountain, and it was a day where they celebrated all the pagan gods. So it was a real interesting day. And our prayer life improved no end on this particular day, I have to tell you. And there was this motorcyclist. In fact, there were several of them. And they had their helmets on and they had like masks on, ugly masks, face masks. And they could see, you know, the white people in the back of the car. And thankfully, we had a proper driver, you know, who knew what he was doing. And they did their best to intimidate the driver and to frighten us and to push us off the road, and we were sitting in the back of the car, you know, praying in tongues. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to be frightened. Our driver's going to be safe. And so we got to where we were going, and it was great. We had a good time up there. And then we were coming down this mountain to come back into Accra and to go to our hotel. And all of a sudden, as we were coming down this mountain, we were chatting, and Maria, who was our host, was chatting to a guy called David, and he was the police chief constable who Ali and I, a few days earlier, had a really exciting ride in his car with all the sirens going. We had a wonderful time. We felt like we should have been like the Queen, you know, like waving to everyone. We felt so special. But it was just really good fun, and we had a great time with him. And Maria was just chatting with him on the phone. She just literally put the phone down with him as we were being driven down the mountain. And all of a sudden, I saw this orange glow in the sky. And you know when you think, oh, that doesn't look good. There shouldn't be orange glows in the sky. Just as fast as I said to Ali and the others, I've just seen this orange glow in the sky. There was the most almighty explosion you've ever seen. I mean, you're talking Hiroshima-sized explosion, and it was massive. And there was this just huge fireball, exploded into the sky. And within a couple of moments, all the traffic just stopped. And, you know, when you talk about a spirit of fear, well, we saw it. Honestly, in the faces of people, they were panicking, absolutely panicking. And our driver, thankfully, just stayed very calm. And we just thought, right, we need to speak to David. So Maria rings David up and says, look, there's just been this massive explosion right in front of us. And he said, just leave it with me a moment. And he calls us back. He said, you need to turn around. So we're on this motorway coming down the mountain. We just literally got to the bottom, hadn't we? And we're praying, you know, prayer life. You know, come on a mission trip with me. Your prayer life improves no end. I want to tell you, it really does. But, you know, he said, turn the car around and you need to go back up the mountain. And he gave our driver these instructions, you know, so we're going up this mountain. And I just said to Marie, I think it'd be a good idea if we had some rain, you know, to go down on this fire to put it out. And so Maria prayed, you know, Lord, can you just release the rain? Well, it was like a massive storm, just suddenly from nowhere. The rain just pounded the car. And I said to Maria, could you not be more specific and just pray for the rain to fall on the fire? Because now we're going up a mountain and we can't see where we're going because the rain, honestly, was that heavy. You know, it's not like Yorkshire rain, you know. It was like proper rain, you know, really, really, really heavy rain. And so we're up the top of the mountain, and David had said, when you get to the top, you need to turn left. So we turned left on the top of this mountain. By now, we've got the radio on, and it's telling us what's happening. I'd rang Steve by this point to say, look, you know, I'm just telling you we're safe. There's been this massive explosion. It's probably going to be on the news, and you need to know we're okay. He put on Facebook and said for everyone to pray. Because we'd said we need to get people mobilised quickly, you know, to pray. This is serious. So as we're listening to the radio, we hear what had happened, and there'd been a gas station explosion where the whole of the petrol station had basically gone up. And people were so panic-stricken. The woman had just jumped out of her car and ran and left her baby in the car. People were just doing stupid things because they were so panic-stricken. And so we're up the top of this mountain on a dirt track on the side of the mountain with no street lights, and the road was like, you know, just like the Himalayas. It was just horrendous. And me and Ali are like, kia la la baba shadabasa ya la 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 basanda, praying, you know, like, Lord. The next minute as we were praying, the sky just lit up. And we had the most amazing, you know, lightning sheets, just lightning across the whole of the road so that we could see this track and navigate, you know, all the lumps and bumps. For those of you being on African roads, you know what I'm talking about. Eventually we just kept navigating this road. Our driver was so incredible. And 3.5 hours later, we got down to the bottom of the mountain and got back to our hotel. And the pair of us were shaking, you know, with the shock of what we'd experienced. And, you know, it was just really, really frightening thing. But, you know, we were in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. Had we been, you know, 5 minutes earlier, you know, we might not have got out of that. Yeah. You know, seven people died and about 130 or so, I can't quite remember the figures. It's all in the book, the more that details the story. But, you know, lots of people were injured. And they said that most people were injured because of how they responded to the fear. Fear caused people to do stupid things, you know. And I really believe in this season, we have to have control over fear. And we have that by being filled with the perfect love of God, that we are confident and can trust in God, you know, that he's going to bring us through whatever we're going through, whether it's, you know, a national disaster like that was, or whether it's, you know, just a family situation. We need to be absolutely in peace. You know, my daughter recently had a little baby, 7 weeks old. She is now little Eliza. And one of our team was praying for Rachel on the day the baby was born. And she said, I've got a picture. And she sent it to me and she said, I see Jesus taking hold of the baby and giving the baby to Rachel and it being a very joyful situation. And I want to tell you what happened. You know, the prophetic word from God is so essential to us, isn't it? You know, when things are difficult. So on the Wednesday morning, Rachel still hadn't gone into labour. She'd been really well. We'd walked around this lake together the day before, really, really well and healthy. No sign of labour, but baby had stopped moving. And so the hospital said, oh, come in, you know, we'll have a look at you. And we were all calm and had prayed for them both as they were leaving. Rachel drove herself to the hospital because she loves driving. And gets to the hospital, they put the monitors on. Next minute, we're taking you through right now. We're doing a cesarean section and they thought the baby was dying. And, you know, I was a mum and I was on my own. Steve was away. And you're still in the natural, aren't you? You know, we're still human. We're still real. We still go through the trauma of it. And yet I'm shaking, you know, with the whole thing. But I'm saying, God, you said. God, you said this little baby girl is going to be in Jesus' hands and handed to Rachel, and this little baby was going to bring great joy. And so, you know, I was stood on that word until I had a phone call to say all was well, and she's doing great. But, you know, we need the word of God, whether it's the written word, whether it's the prophetic word. You need the word of God in this season so that when the shaking happens, you can go, God, you said. Because that's what your confidence is in. That's what our faith is in. You know, we knew in Ghana, although we were shaking and we were scared, we knew God had called us to be there. You know, we knew that God had a massive mission for us in being in Ghana. We knew the devil was really trying to stop us because it was a massive, massive thing that we were very privileged to be part of. And I really believe God is giving people, you know, right now, you know, he's calling you by name. They were called by name. You know, they were not called by a whole group of people. They were called by name. They were called to go to a specific place. You know, for me and Ali, we wouldn't have chosen to go. You know, it was out of our comfort zone by a million miles, wasn't it? You know, and the second time, if anyone had said to me, Sue, you don't have to go, even when I was walking up the steps of the plane, I would have gone, great, I'm going home. That's fantastic. Because it was so out of my comfort zone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes God calls you out of your comfort zone. In fact, he usually does. And then he gets the glory, doesn't he? But, you know, as a result of Ali and I, you know, overcoming our fears, overcoming our comfort zone issues, you know, overcoming the fact that we're leaving our families. You know, Ali's father-in-law was not well. My mum-in-law actually stopped breathing while I was away. She'd been very ill and, you know, always kind of had a bit of a saga going on when I was away. And, you know, we can have a million excuses why God can't, you know, send us somewhere at a specific time. But, you know, we wanted to be obedient above everything else. And as a result of us going, you know, the following time that we went, you know, we were able to work with all these incredible leaders, with the mayor of Cape Coast, the tribal chiefs, and to see, them, the leaders there, stand in the gap between history and present and the future, you know, to see repentance for the sin of their ancestors and to see a real breaking of curses that have been spoken, you know, by their own people, you know, over the land. And it was a massive, massive, massive thing. You know, Ali and I washed the feet, you know, of many of the leaders. And I hate feet. You know, we're being honest, God calls you to do things that's about us humbling ourselves, you know, and being obedient and loving these precious, beautiful people so much that we put aside any of our own feelings, you know, and we just loved on them. And, you know, at the end of that time, they forgave Liverpool. Liverpool is the first city in the whole world to receive forgiveness from the sin of the slave trade. You know, that is just amazing. And that happened almost 500 years to the day. We couldn't have worked that out. Yeah. You know, but the enemy tried to stop us. But if you're in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, God has your back. You know, God will take care of you. God will provide for you. God will make sure, you know, that you are there to bring victory over every situation. We saw over 500 women give their lives to Jesus, women and children. We saw leaders' wives who'd never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. We saw a glory cloud come into this Catholic chapel. You know, as we were praying for the priests, there were these trainee priests, you know, all dressed in white. We laid hands on them, we prayed for them, and they were just zapped with Holy Spirit. It was just an amazing time, but the enemy did not want us there, you know. And I really want to encourage you tonight, do not give in when the enemy comes to discourage you. You'd be pleased, I'm just a quarter away through my first page. Hallelujah. 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 We are made to declare the word of God, and that's what they were called to do. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke and he said, who? Paul and Barnabas. When? Go now. Where? He told them where to go. And what? They had to declare the word of God. So they traveled to several destinations before arriving at Paphos, where they encountered a false prophet. And there's none of them around today, is there? You know what I mean? Oh my goodness. So this false prophet had positioned himself as an advisor to the regional governor. However, the governor asked to meet with Paul and Barnabas as he wanted to see a manifestation of God and to hear God's word. You know, there is a hunger, I believe, amongst leaders to hear the word of the Lord. And if we do not occupy that space, guess who does? Yes. And I believe there are Christians who have occupied that space with the wrong motive. You know, that we can be looking for power and authority and we think we get it by positioning ourselves and aligning ourselves alongside leaders. And I really think it's important, you know, that whatever opportunities God opens for us, we are there to humble ourselves and to serve and to minister and not to manipulate and to try and control things or to gain glory for ourselves. It's really important in this day. It's really important that we really operate in discernment. You know, you can watch the news, and if you believe everything you see in the news, you know, you'd probably be quite foolish, you know, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's massively exaggerated. We only have to look at the fuel shortage, you know, that when it started, there wasn't really that much of a fuel shortage. But by the time the media had finished, every gas station was emptied, you know, and it wasn't there. And it's an agenda of fear and manipulation and control. And so we need to discern. We need to be listening to God. We need to be discerning what the Spirit is saying. And so that we know, you know, the Bible says, doesn't it, in the end times, even the elect will be deceived. And that's us. And so we need to keep account with one another. You know, I love our team. You know, I keep myself accountable. There's times when I share things with our team and say, oh, I'm thinking about making this decision. What do you think? You know, because I might be wrong. We have advisors around us. We have 11 advisors who advise us in different aspects of the work that we do. And so we can go and speak to them at any time. They can come and speak to us at any time so that we're accountable. You know, so if they suddenly hear Sue speaking absolute rubbish, or so I've heard, somebody said you said this, they can come and check that out, because I want to be accountable. Yes. And, you know, we need to have people around us who we can be accountable with. So important. And we need to be willing to say, oh, you know what, I got that wrong. Because to prophesy false prophecy, you know, we can make a mistake. Any prophet can make a mistake. Yeah. And we need to be able to say, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. And say it quickly. But, you know, false prophecy is dangerous. And it's leading people down the wrong path. And, you know, the danger of it is very often that when you have somebody who's bringing false prophecy, who really opens the door to the demonic in all kinds of ways, the church shuts the prophecy down. The leaders shut it down. And understandably so. But we actually need the prophetic word of the Lord more now than ever before. And so I challenge you to really discern. You know, it's not a gift that we operate in very well at times. And we need to stir that up. And we need to really be accountable with one another in these days. You know, the glory's great. And we're going to see great revival. We're going to see amazing things in the days ahead. And I'm really excited. But we need to not switch off our common sense and our discernment, because there will be a rising up of the demonic. There will be a rising up of the flesh. There will be a rising up of those who want to put you down and drag you down and stop what's happening. And you need to be able to discern that straight away. And I think you're going to be good at that anyway. But there's more of you. You know, in our team, when we do something called Big Push, we have people scattered around the room. You know, we bring people in from all over the place, but our team, without anyone knowing, they're scattered around the room and they're praying. And their antennas are up and they're looking to watch what's operating, so that if anything starts to raise its head, we can deal with it and shut it down straight away. You know, we need to be operating. You need to be getting ready for that level of discernment in the days ahead. Amen. When God's people do not go and are not positioned to release his presence, we leave a vacuum which attracts the counterfeit. And we cannot complain about the state of our nation when we've not been willing to engage. And it's really important that God's people begin to rise up. And God is saying these vacuums have been occupied by the enemy, who's empowered people to bring about evil agendas in our nations. You don't need me to tell you this. And that is why, regardless of whether we like them or not, whether we like their politics or not, we like what they're doing or not, we have a responsibility biblically to stand in the gap between heaven and earth and pray for leaders. It's so important. If we don't, we're leaving them vulnerable. Thankfully here, the governor did not want empty religion or the counterfeit, and neither do people today. They may not know it yet, but people need the word of God, full of power and followed by signs and wonders and miracles that display the reality of God's glory. I'll give you a little football illustration, which, for those of you who love Liverpool, give us a wave. Yeah! Liverpool fans. When we'd been to the Heysel Stadium to pray, we began to prophesy that Liverpool would win the European Cup. And, you know, for the Liverpool fans, they were really receiving that. And I was working with the police at the time. And another guy called David, popular name, and he was the superintendent over the police. And his responsibility was to look after the matches. And so what a great job. Hey, what a great job. So when Liverpool travelled, he went with them, with his team of police. And then he supervised all the matches, you know, in Anfield as well. And I would sit next to him at these meetings that we had and ask him how it was going and be praying for him and stuff. And I kept saying to him, they're going to win the cup, you know. Just watch. I said, honestly, I said, they don't even have to play well because God's on their side. You know, and so when Liverpool were in the final, and, you know, it was 3-0 down. We were talking about it, weren't we, the other day? 3-0 down. And my Steve was going, oh, Sue, I think you've got it wrong this time. I said, I haven't. Just wait and see how busy the Angels are going to be in the second half. You know, and God moved in power, you know, and it was because we positioned ourselves even there. You know, the police guy, David, who I was speaking to and praying with, you know, after Liverpool came home with the cup and everything, you know, I said, David, I've got something to tell you. He said, I know, I know, I know. He said, I've started going to church. You know, and so, you know, when you know the word of the Lord, when you are in the right place at the right time, the right people doing the right thing, you know, you will begin to see lives getting changed and impacted because people want to see the reality of God. They don't want religious, you know, costumes and stuff. They want to see the reality of a God who loves the world so much that he sent his son to die for them. You know, and it's a good news message. You know, it's not morbid. It's not sad. It's not depressing. It's not hopeless. It is a good news message. Hallelujah. The governor wanted to see the glory of God. You know, people want to see the glory of God. In a day when people are hungry for the supernatural, they need to see the glory of God. They need to smell the fragrance of God in the room, you know. There was no BBC, no telephones, no text message, no Twitter, no Facebook to spread the news of what God was doing through Paul and Barnabas. But the Bible tells us, you know, the word of God has a power all of its own. And people came from miles around, you know, as the news spread of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that were happening everywhere these two men went. And, you know, the governor witnessed that for himself. But the false prophet did all he could to stop them. And that's the role of the false prophet. You know, he wants to see prophecy shut down. And so we have a responsibility to, number one, stop the false prophecy. That's really important. But to train and to equip, you know, so that we see the true prophetic rising up and we nurture it and we make it accountable and we talk things through together because we need to hear. We need to hear what God is saying so that we're in the right place at the right time, the right people doing the right thing. You need it when you're driving in your car home tonight. Which route do you take home? You want to be so open to the Holy Spirit, you know, that if you get a little nudge to go in a slightly different direction, you know, you do that because you don't know what God is saving you from on your route home. We need to be listening all the time and following, you know, the nudge. When God gives us that little hint, you know, they said to him, you son of the devil, you are full of every form of fraud and deceit and an enemy of all that is right. When will you stop perverting the truth of God and stop lying? God's judgment fell upon the false prophet and he lost his vision. This is New Testament. You know, sometimes we just think it's Old Testament when God moved like that. It isn't at all. And we need to be so in awe of God's holiness. You know, I'm scared of what I prophesy sometimes. I'm very, very careful what comes out my mouth because people have died when I've given prophetic words out in Uganda. You know, I never prophesied that somebody would die. God said to pray for the uprooting of the Lord's resistance army, which is a really demonically inspired, you know, army of violent, horrible people who were just destroying children and their families and getting the children to murder their parents and raping. And it was just horrible. And again, you can read the story in the second book, I think, or the third, I don't know, one of them books. Yeah, second, thank you. You can read it in that book. You know, God said, I want you to pray for the uprooting of the Lord's resistance army. And, you know, as we did that, we didn't understand even what we were saying. But you know what happened was a lady called Alice Laquina 1 week later died. Alice Laquina was the founder of the Lord's Resistance Army. She was Joseph Kony's aunt, and she was the one from whom he drew all his demonic powers. 2 weeks later, the high priest died. So we've got to be very careful, you know, what we are praying, what we are saying, and what we are releasing. You know, I know that was God. I know that was God. I know that God gave them time to repent. I know he gave them time because he's a gracious, loving, heavenly Father. You know, but there is a point where God says enough and he sends his word. And so we need to be careful what we're saying. Hallelujah. I'm going to send these notes through. Is that all right? Because
yeah.
I don't want to go over time. But I really want to finish by praying. I felt during the worship God was saying to me, he wants us to commission and anoint pioneers tonight. And I feel that there's several of you that you know you're like a pioneer. You're somebody who has visions and dreams and ideas that will bring breakthrough in the days ahead. There's about at least three or four of you here. And I think David behind the camera, you're one of them. And we just want to anoint you and pray for you and pray for a real commission. I think you're one as well, Robert. You've still got more to come. So is that all right? Is that okay? I feel I've discharged what God wants me to discharge, and I'll send the notes through. Is that all right? Cool. So let's pray. If you're one of the pioneers, will you please quickly come out and we'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. It might be in business. It might be in mission. Yeah, thank you, God. I'm still waiting for somebody to create that ring. Does anyone want to be the pioneer for that? Thank you, Lord. Do you want to come, Ali? Do you want to just bring the anointing oil out of my bag, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Word. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you for Robert. Father, we thank you. I just heard the Lord say, you know, someone called Robert, it can be Bobby, Bob, Rob, Robert, all these other names. And I just feel like it's like you're multi-named before the Lord. You have all these names that He treasures about you, and you have you're multi-gifted, and that there's like no end to what God can give you and release to you. He trusts you. And Father, we just thank you for what you've entrusted to Robert. Lord God, thank you, God, that there's many dreams that he hasn't even begun to scratch the surface of yet. Father, thank you that some of the visions and the dreams he's going to give away in the days ahead. Lord God, as he's going to bring them to birth, and then he's going to give them away to his sons and his daughters, Lord God. And I just thank you that right now you're raising up, Lord, those sons and daughters around, the spiritual sons and daughters, Lord God, to really run with the visions that you've given to Robert. Not that Robert's retiring, but Lord God, it's like he's a champion of champions and a father of fathers. And thank you for the apostolic anointing, prophetic anointing on him, the pastoral anointing. That's what all the names are about. The many names that he has, Lord, and that he's one of your favourites, really is one of your favourites, Lord. And that's because he walks in your favour. He walks in your anointing. And we just want to release the blessing of God. And Lord, I just want to pray a real accuracy of the timing of those visions, Lord, that if he was to start them all at the same time, everybody would run away. There'd be too much to do. But Lord, you've got a right timing for every one of those visions. And it's almost like the pieces of a jigsaw that fit together, but in a specific order. And I pray that he'll know the ones that bring the clearer picture quicker before all the other pieces go in. So I pray that you'll just give him real direction, Father, in the days ahead. Pray that, thank you, God, for his prophetic anointing. But I pray that you would open his ears even wider, that you'll hear with greater clarity and greater accuracy. And we pray for the timing, that there will be an acceleration of time for him, so that he can fit more in that time. And I pray that you will close his door to people who are just going to be trouble, people who are going to be jealous, people who are going to be intimidated, that you put not a thick skin on him, but that he will just discern that he's not to get involved with those people, and that you'll just gather a really good, solid team around him in the days ahead. And we just bless him for his obedience and his love for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for David, Father. Lord God, Lord, when he came to the microphone, I couldn't wait to hear what he had to say. Lord God, and I just want to say to you, David, the time of you hiding at the back is over. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you I know that you're involved in business, so I don't want to say it's a revelation from God that I know that, but Lord, I thank you, Lord God, again, for the many business ventures, Lord God, that you've already given to David, Father. And I thank you for his integrity. And Lord, I want to pray again for all the seed that you've given him. I see sacks and sacks and sacks of seed. Seed for businesses. Father, thank you for the young people that he's equipping in this new season. Lord God, that is going to give courage and boldness to people that just don't know what to do. Thank you for the experience, the good and the bad that he's had. Thank you, God, for what he's going to impart. Lord, I see him raising up with the business leaders, Lord. Lord, sowing into them. Lord, as a Christian leader, speaking into them, encouraging them, coming alongside them. Lord, with your word, with your spirit, and with your vision. Thank you, God, with real, solid integrity. Thank you, he's a Joseph, Lord. Yes. He's a Joseph, God. And we just pray that you continue to position him, Father. And we speak freedom over the past. Yes. Everything that Joseph represented in your life, in your journey, we just speak of freedom from all of that right now. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you that we need him. Yes. Your people need David, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you, God. Thank you for Helen. Thank you for a Be Happy t-shirt. Thank you, God. Thank you that you've made her to be a real joy bringer, God. And Father, we just release a fresh anointing and a commissioning for her right now, Father, for Helen. Lord God, in the education. In education, we just thank you for her. Thank you, God. 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 We just release right now. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Breakthrough anointing. Father, we just release it over her right now. Fresh commissioning. Fresh oil. Fresh revelation. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just bless her. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There's two things I just want to finish to challenge you with, prayer-wise. Is to really pray for government, education, NHS. Those three things. And to pray over babies being born. In this season, it's really critical. You know, I really feel there's a challenge over babies being born. There's a real call of God on their lives and on their families. I don't know a baby born this year that hasn't been born by section or have had a very, very traumatic birth. And I feel the Holy Spirit really flagging it up that we really need to be praying. And so if you've got people working in the NHS, working in schools, you know, cover them in prayer. They're part of your mission and sending out of people. And it's really important in this season. So I just want to say a big thank you on behalf of me and Ellie. I want to thank God for giving us the privilege of coming here and to be, you know, able to spend time with you all. And we love you. We're taking you home in our hearts. And we just thank you for the privilege, really. Thank you to Robert and Helen and everybody who's just spoiled us lovely meals. You know, we love you very much and we look forward to welcome you to Liverpool soon. Yeah.